Welcome to GW Healthcast. We have a panel for you today, and joining us in this discussion are Dr. Gurusher Pandrath. He's an associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences and the director of Heart Failure and Mechanical Circulatory Support Program at the George Washington University Hospital. And Dr. Supriya Batra, he's an assistant professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences and a cardiologist and heart failure specialist affiliated with the George Washington University Hospital. They are here to discuss advanced heart failure treatments and techniques.
I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Wilner. Welcome, Drs. Pandrath and Batra.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Glad to be here as well.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Dr. Pandrath, you are the Director of Heart Failure and Mechanical Circulatory Support Program at GW University Hospital. How common is heart failure?
That's a great question, Dr. Willen. Heart failure is actually fairly common. It is the number one diagnosis among elderly patients in the United States for hospitalization. And in fact, every year, around more than 700,000 people have a new diagnosis of heart failure within the United States. So to kind of summarize, it's a fairly common diagnosis and seems to be increasing.
All right, let me ask you, Dr. Batra. Dr. Pandrath just told us that there are 750,000 people every year in the U.S. that have a new diagnosis of heart failure. So if I'm one of those 700,000 or so people, how do I know I have heart failure?
Sure. Heart failure is a spectrum. It's the various symptoms. So usually the first time that it may come to a patient's mind that there might be something wrong is the first time that they develop symptoms. Symptoms of heart failure may include shortness of breath, fatigue, inability to lie flat due to fluid accumulation or water accumulation in the lungs. You may notice some swelling involved in your lower extremities, meaning your legs or your abdomen. Those are some of the most common ones that we may see. On the other end of the spectrum, some heart failure patients may actually go many years without being discovered just because they never develop those symptoms, in which case they may come to medical attention if they are being surveyed for other things, such as a routine echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart, which may note an abnormality, or on blood work, or if your primary care doctor may notice a little subtle abnormality on your blood work. So in summary, the patients typically realize that they may have something that's dwindling or something that's developing based on the presence of symptoms. Alternatively, they may have no symptoms and come to medical attention when they're being assessed for other things in the medical field. Again, just wanting to reiterate that heart failure is a spectrum and not every patient is identified in the same way.
Oh, thanks for that. Now, let me follow up. So how does a patient know whether they should see, heart failure sounds pretty serious. How do they know whether they should see a specialist, a cardiologist, or whether it's something that can be handled by their family doctor or internist?
That's a great question. I think anytime that there is a development of new symptoms, I think it's important for the patient to acknowledge that there is something that's a little off and try to seek care. Oftentimes, because the symptoms that I described can be vague and they may be related to other medical conditions, such as lung issues or deconditioning or other systemic diseases, the first step may be to see your primary care doctor or family doctor. But again, if the symptoms are new in onset and concerning, we are also open to seeing those patients in our clinic. So I guess the best way that I can phrase that is whoever is easiest for the patient to get looped into. If you're able to easily access a primary care doctor, an internist, or a family practitioner, someone that you can easily get an appointment with, I think that would be a good person to go to. Alternatively, if you are not looped into those patients, we do happily see patients with concern for heart failure in our clinic as well.
And I would like to add by saying that, even though patients may have a relationship with their primary care doctors, when it comes down to a diagnosis such as heart failure, we do recommend them being seen by a cardiologist, and it may be a general cardiologist or it could be an advanced heart failure cardiologist, more so to kind of tie up a big picture plan, both from making sure they're on the appropriate therapies consistent with their manifestation of heart failure, as well as providing some degree of prognosis and testing appropriate to figure out what the trajectory of their condition is going to be. So it is key that even though they may see a primary care or a family doctor as a first step, they are looped in with a cardiologist as well.
Well, for most patients with heart failure, do medications usually work?
As far as in 2022, we are very excited to be able to offer a good number of medical medications by mouth for our patients, meaning we have great medications that are working and make us very hopeful for our heart failure patients. And that involves the whole spectrum of heart failure at this point. And alluding back to what Dr. Pandrat said earlier in the podcast, that's one of the main reasons that we prefer and recommend these patients to be referred to a cardiologist, and even better, a dedicated advanced heart failure cardiologist, to ensure that the latest and greatest medications that are appropriate on a patient-to-patient basis can be offered to our patients. And again, trajected improvement in overall how the patients are feeling, symptom burden, number of possible hospitalizations, and overall survival are typically improved with these medications by mouth.
Wow, that's pretty encouraging. Now, I suppose there are some patients where the medications, they don't work after a while, or they don't work in the beginning. And are there any other options if the meds don't work?
Yes, so there are many other options, and that's why, you know, we believe in personalized care and a personalized care plan coming up, which is unique to each patient. The medications, if a patient is run out of options in terms of medications and they're not effective and they have a significant burden of disease and impact on the endurance, quality of life, or they have repeat hospitalizations, then there are other device-based options as well on top of medications. These may include pacemakers involving both sides of the heart, which may help improve the heart function, coordinate the heart function as well. There are other devices which may alter or change some of the hormonal imbalances which come with heart failure and thus help patient with symptoms as well as quality of life and their exercise capacity. And then if beyond all that, if all else fails and there's a progression of disease in a select few patients, there are options such as mechanical circulatory support devices, or what we call as left ventricular device, or LVAD, or heart pump in simple terms, or a heart transplant. So there is a whole spectrum of therapies or options which may be available, and the key is to form a personalized plan along with the provider.
Well, Dr. Pandrat, just to be clear, do you offer all of those options at George Washington University Hospital?
Yes, we do. And the key thing which I would like to highlight about our practice is we really tailor it to each individual patient. We don't take a cookie cutter approach. We tailor it to the patient's needs, their wishes, and their overall condition and what other conditions they may have. And we do the spectrum of everything, right from the pharmacological therapy or medications that Dr. Batra alluded to. We have the devices, which I mentioned. We have options for heart pump as well as evaluation for heart transplant as well.
Oh, well, that's terrific. Dr. Batra, to follow up on that and to wrap up our discussion, could you paint a picture of what happens? Let's say I'm seeking a cardiology opinion for my doctor told me I have heart failure, and I come to GW and I make an appointment with you. Give me kind of an idea of what's going to happen and where I'm going to go, and how is that all going to evolve so that I get the optimal care?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I think what I like to encourage patients, and I would like patients to know, is when we sit down, it really is, and we're meeting for the first time, as Dr. Pandrat said, is I really want to know about your case. I want to know how you're feeling, what symptoms you're having, and I want to see what testing, you know, if you're referred from another physician, what testing have you had at that point? We'll review that together, and then we'll give an opinion on what the next steps will be. And typically those steps will be diagnostic. You know, if there's something that I suspect may be contributing to your heart failure, we'll further evaluate that. If you are not yet on the best medications that we can offer and you're a good candidate for those medications, we'll work together to make sure that you are started in a stepwise and appropriate manner in order to keep you feeling well and hoping that your body tolerates the therapies as we need to. When you do meet with me or Dr. Pandrath, again, because we are specialists in heart failure, we try to address your problem in a targeted manner. So you're speaking to us one-on-one, you're having more of an individualized assessment. And I think that's the benefit of being seen by a specialist in the specific problem that we are trying to treat. Our visits are always in person. If someone does live remotely, we have the capacity to offer virtual appointments. But because our heart failure patients can frequently have subtle symptoms or symptoms that fluctuate up and down in regards to their volume retention, because they oftentimes do require numerous medications, we oftentimes recommend that we have a face-to-face encounter in person in order to, again, just make sure that we're tailoring our treatment plan and our treatment algorithm to how you are feeling and how you are doing.
Drs. Pandrath and Batra, I want to thank you for this great discussion of modern approaches to heart failure treatment and the services available at George Washington University Hospital.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us on GW HealthCast. To schedule an appointment, please call 1-888-GW-DOCS or visit gwhospital.com for more information or to get connected with one of our providers. Please also remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other fascinating podcasts from the George Washington University Hospital Library. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of the George Washington University Hospital. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. Individual results may vary. There are risks associated with any procedure. Speak with your physician about these risks to find out if surgical procedures are right for you.